Thank you, Brother Levi, for the devotional thought and the omnipresence of God. As I was preparing for a message for this evening, it felt like the previous messages were with the first fruits, looking at that, and Jesus as our first fruit, and the fruits is being here on this earth, and then the looking at the stones that are in God's word this morning. It just felt like I needed an earthy message this evening. So I chose to look at Psalms 24, where the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. The Lord is King. Seek to enter in and stand in God's holy presence. Earth, the Lord is King. Seek to enter in and stand in God's holy presence. When I think of seeking, I'm searching, I'm paying attention to what's going on around me. And then when we find that, we want to be in awe of the presence that we're in, God's holy presence. David may have written Psalm 24 in a special event of bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem after it had been captured and recovered from the Philistines. For years, King Saul didn't seem concerned about getting it back, but David yearned to have this symbol of God's presence back among his people. When the day finally was great celebration, and David danced before the Lord. We can see that in 1 Samuel 6. The arrival of God's presence also needed sanctification. If we enter in to the Lord's presence, we must be holy before him. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The earth was created for the Lord and his glory. And that included you and I. We were created for God's glory. The first step to enter into God's presence is to acknowledge that he is a Lord sovereign, creator of all. He is the creator. To enter into his presence, we need to have that concept. It's not ours, it's his. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. They unto day utter a speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. That was Psalms 19, verse 1 and 2. In Revelations 4, 10 and 11, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that lived forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and thy pleasure they are and were created. For thy pleasure they are and were created. So there we can see that God is worthy of our praise and honor, worthy to receive that. And he's looking for that as well. On to verse 2 in Psalm 24. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. So God, when he was creating the earth, he formed the earth out of the sea and he established it upon the floods. From creation, where God founded the earth out of waters, he spoke the earth into existence out of nothing. Now, how awesome is that? God speaking and things just happen. For you and I, it takes effort to make things happen. But for God, he spoke and things were formed and created. When we think of that, the magnificence of significance of God and all that he is in creation, it should just humble us to come into his presence. And that's what he invites us to do, to come into his presence, to worship with him. It's not that we're out there. He wants us to be near to him. On to verse 3 in chapter 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? The thought is here to seek to enter in. Seek to enter and then stand in all of his presence, God's holy presence. Stand in God's holy presence. It must have been a very joyous scene for the Israelites as they carried that ark back from the Philistines, that covenant up the hill to the Zion, to the sanctified spot on the holy mountain. Soon they would enter in the Lord's holy place. As they did this, as they traveled up the hill, as they traveled up through there, and there's this joy, and there was this anticipation. I just want to also say, were they looking at their insides? Were they looking at their heart? Were they prepared to come into God's presence? They were examining themselves. Soon they would enter the Lord's holy place. They were forced to examine their hearts and lives for any impurity. Holiness is essential to enter God's presence. Are we willing to put that effort forth? As I think of that to come before God in holiness, it takes an effort. It doesn't just happen. We need to think about the process that we're doing here. What are we preparing for? We're preparing to meet the creator of the earth, to enter into his presence. Psalm 24, verse 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Clean hands. So I know in my past occupation, if I was doing engine work or transmission work or whatever it may have been, my hands got dirty. They took a constant washing to keep them clean, to scrub them under the fingernails to get the dirt out. And he that hath clean hands and a pure heart and has not lifted up his soul to vanity nor sworn deceitfully. I know how hard it is to keep hands clean. The heart is something that needs a lot of attention as well. When I think of that verse, I just think of Isaiah 6. I would like to turn there, Isaiah 6, and the allness that he felt when he came into God's presence, as he had that vision there. Isaiah 6, 1, the year of King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. So read those verses and the anticipation of meeting a holy God and coming into his presence. Isaiah just felt that unworthiness. Can you and I feel that as well this evening? That unworthiness. And he found God's cleansing from that visit. He felt that cleansing from the vision of the throne. God's cleansing, it's available today, just as it was to Isaiah. Just as it was to Isaiah. Just like to look at the clean hands and a pure heart, holiness in our worship. As we think about that, we want that holiness in our worship. When we look into God's word, can we put the world around us out of our mind? That is a very much of a challenge for myself, to come into his presence and not have distractions. Holiness in our action toward others. Holiness in our actions. As well as our thoughts. Not just a clean physically, but spiritually as well. We scrub our hands. We wash our hair. We scrub our face. We want to present ourselves clean. But God is looking for that inside out cleansing, that pure heart. Then now into the not lifting up our soul unto vanity. As we think of vanity, vanity is something that is empty. There is nothing there. There is nothing there. I guess on my mind, when I think of vanity, I think of looking in the mirror and, you know, brushing up, fluffing up. But when I step out of that mirror, there's nothing there. It's vanity. It is all gone. It's empty. It's false. It's worthless. The idol worship, the vanity is empty, false, worthless. The idols worship the true God alone. That is what we're called to do. Worship the true God alone. And the last thing there, nor sworn deceitfully. So I think of the sworn deceitfully. I think of integrity. When we give a handshake, it is what we say and do. There is true, and it's above all. There's that integrity there. Not sworn deceitfully. We'd like to move on to the next verse here, verse 5. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. The results of seeking God in holiness, we will receive a blessing and his righteousness. We will receive a blessing and his righteousness. For verse 6 there, this generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. As I think of this generation, that wasn't just in David's generation, that is today. And are we seeking that King? Are we seeking the Lord of hosts? God wants that relationship with you and I. He is seeking true worshipers. He is seeking people that are people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. He wants to know us. We want to know him. He wants us to know him and what he wants us to live in his presence. And how do we do that? If we can't come to a God because of his holiness, because God is a holy God and he cannot accept sin, and we all know we're sinners, but it's through the blood of Jesus that we can come to God. It is through that presence of Jesus in our life that we can go to a holy God. And that is such an awesome thing that can happen and when we worship him in spirit and in truth. On to verse 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and lift up, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. So as we travel with this Ark of the Covenant, possibly coming up the hill here, nears the gates, David is saying, open the gates. Let this King of glory come in. Let him come in. David called the city to welcome him, the symbol of God's presence into their midst. He wanted everyone to be examining their hearts beforehand. And then when that King of glory was coming, he wanted the gate open and that welcome for him to come in. As they approached the gates, it is announced, who is seeking entrance? Who is seeking the entrance? It is the King of glory that wants in. We are there to invite him in to our life. As we think about this gate that as the city gates may be opening to welcome in this King of glory, let's just take our hearts. They're a gate as well. He is calling us to open our hearts. Open that gate, our heart's gate. Are they opened or closed to the King of glory? He is seeking entrance. Everything on this earth, as we think about it, it belongs rightfully to God, and that includes our heart and our home. It is all God's. What are we going to do with that? Are we going to open that heart, them gates, to allow that King of glory in? That's his desire, to come to worship with you and I. On to verse 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. The question is, who is this King of glory? Do you know this King of glory? Here we can see perhaps the gatekeeper is requesting more information. He wants to know, who is this King of glory? Who is this King of glory? And then we can see the Lord strong and mighty. He is Yahweh, Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God of Israel. And there's more credentials there. More credentials are given by describing his might and power. He is a mighty warrior. He is always triumphant in battle as well. He will be a strong, mighty presence in your life if you let him in. If that gate is opened, he is a strong and mighty presence there. He will fight and he will win your battles. And that is such a comfort to know that we have a mighty God on our side. And he will fight for us as well. He will win our battles. He will win your battles. In verse 9, on to verse 9, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, O the King of glory shall come in. As I look at this verse, I see it as an open invitation to you and I today to open up the door. The door of salvation, if you will. It's the door to our heart. To the King of glory. He laid down his life for you and I. For us. He bore our sins on the cross. He longs to dwell within us through the Holy Spirit. What a comfort that is to have that King who longs to dwell in our life. When he went to the cross, he didn't just stop halfway through and say, I have better things to do today. He went the whole way. He gave his life. He shed it all. He shed all his precious blood. And then he rose victorious over death, hell, sin, the grave. And that's the same one that has a desire to be present in our life and to give us victory. On to verse 10. The question is asked again. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is King of glory, Selah. The question is, who is the King of glory? He has the host of angels at his command. This is a terrifying aspect to his enemies, but a comforting one to his people. So if you identify with Jesus, he can be a comfort in our life. His presence in our life is a comfort. If we're in opposition to Jesus, he is terrifying. He is terrifying in our life. He is the divine warrior, the commander of all power in heaven and earth. His battles always win him victory. He longs to come in and give you victory over all the enemies of your life. How awesome is that? That this king wants to give us victory over all the enemies that we face here on this earth. There is many enemies. The enemies are going to be different from one generation to the next. They're going to be different for one person to the next. But it doesn't matter what it is. He wants to give us that victory over them. The enemies of your life. Welcoming the conquering king into your gates, into your heart, he will drive out all fear as well. What another beautiful thing that we can rest in Jesus, that he will drive out the fear. He will keep the gate, if you will, when he is in there. Jesus offers everything he is to each of us. Jesus offers everything. He is to each of us, his love, his presence, power, comfort, guidance, and also that forgiveness of sin. We know where we are destined to hell without Jesus in our life. That forgiveness of sin and that eternal life in you. What a beautiful advantage. Eternal life with Jesus. Forgiveness of sin and eternal life is ours when we open our heart to him. So the kind of a closing thought here. Acknowledge the Lord. That's, we want to acknowledge him as the creator over all. He is sovereign. Seek to enter in, and then when we enter in, to stand in his God's presence and his all and majesty. And we also want to welcome your conquering king as well. He has conquered death. He has bore our sins, rose from the grave, and he's there conquering for you and I, conquering king. I'd like to just turn to Revelations 1:18. Revelations 1:18, and I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. He was dead, but now he's alive. And with a desire to live in our presence, that omnipresence to be everywhere with you and I. Also just like to look at Revelations 3:20 as well. And tonight, if that heart's door was never opened to that conquering king, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open a door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Tonight, if you have not opened your heart to that conquering king, his desire, is to come in, to open that gate. Dear kind Heavenly Father, just thank you for your awesomeness and how you portray yourself in your word. And when we come into your presence, to feel your spirit with us as well. Thank you, Jesus, for that Holy Spirit. Thank you for being alive, conquering death, and living forevermore. And Lord, we can be with you. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Lord, I just thank you for your faithfulness and your presence here tonight. And as we go from here, may we lift your name on high and give you all honor and glory that is due unto you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you, each one, for coming out tonight. It was a blessing to come here, to feel the hospitality and the warm welcome, and to get to know people, new friends. We're made here this weekend. Count it a privilege, and also looking forward to having Stan for revivals in the fall. God bless you as you prepare for that, Stan.